Father, we thank you for another opportunity to share the word of God today. We pray in Jesus' name for your blessing upon the service, upon the preaching and teaching of the word. I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to see wondrous things in your scriptures. We pray that you anoint every hearer, whether they are here or they're hearing this on the internet or wherever they are. We pray in Jesus' name that you will anoint their ears and give them insight and revelation. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. So, why prayer is mysterious? The mystery of prayer. Amen. Prayer is mysterious. Today we're going to have a baby dedication of that Araba amazing baby. Amen. Okay. So, why prayer is mysterious? Hallelujah. Now, I was sharing with you that God is a very mysterious God, and it should come as no surprise to us that communicating with Him also has a mystery to it. Amen. You see, when you are relating with something, you have to accept or convert yourself to the basic nature of the thing in order to be able to relate with it. Hallelujah. Like if you want to plug your iPad into one of these sockets, if your iPad has round pins, you cannot get any power from this socket because this socket requires two flat pins. Do you see what I'm saying? So then you need what we call an adapter. You see, now the adapter takes you as you are and converts you to something that can relate with what is over there. Hallelujah. And that is how you're able to tap into the power. So if you, an ordinary human being, you want to relate with a mysterious God, then you have to embrace and understand the mystery. Do you understand? You have to adapt yourself to the mystery in order to be able to plug into God properly and get the most out of Him. How many understand what I've just explained? Amen. That is the reason why Christians need to learn about the mysterious God and the mysterious nature of communicating with Him. Amen. That prayer is a mysterious thing. It's not just as you think it is, that it is mysterious. And once we understand the mystery of it, we will have better results when we pray. Amen. Amen. So the first mystery is that it seems God is limited or restricted to do only what we ask. You know, it seems God does not act until we pray or unless we pray. Wow. Now, this is a very important aspect of the mystery. Amen. This is a very important one. It means that if you pray or don't pray at all, then you are not likely to see God's hand at work in your life. Do you understand? Now, this is profound because it offers an explanation to sometimes the questions we have. See, many people think that because we go to church, or because I go to church, or because I give in the church, or because I even do something in the church, I expect that God automatically also works in certain areas of my life. Do you understand? And then when you find yourself not breaking through in a certain way, or when you find certain things happening in your life, you are surprised because it looks like I go to church all the time, but nothing seems to work in my life. Hallelujah. So I was explaining to you last week that one of the mysteries about God and relating with Him in prayer is that God seems to be restricted to what we do. Amen. Or what we do ask. Hallelujah. What I mean is that if you do not pray, you will be surprised that God's hand will be very limited in your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. And I think I gave you an example last week how like you can have the police come around when there's a situation, isn't it? Yeah. The police can come around when there's a situation, and they come with a lot of power. I tell you, the police are very powerful in every place. Amen. But then they need somebody to engage them. They need somebody. The police cannot just come to your house and arrest you just on their own. Hallelujah. In spite of having a lot of power, they can't just burst into any place and just, they need somebody who is engaging them. They need someone to press charges. Hallelujah. The light in your house can shine so bright. It's all set up and everything, but you need someone to turn on the switch. Hallelujah. To turn on the switch. Even the ones that are automatic, you see there are some of them there these days, they have some lights fixtures which are they have motion sensors attached to them, but somebody has to walk in front of it. Do you see? And when you walk in front of it, then it turns the light on. Hallelujah. And the mystery about prayer is that God, almighty as he is, wants you to engage him. Hallelujah. He wants you to engage him. You see, there is a very interesting or common verse that we use when we are praying for the church. You find that in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. Let me share that scripture with you this morning. It says in Ezekiel chapter 36, good. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. Right. It says, thus saith the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Have you got it? No, not this one. Have you found it? Okay. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Then he says, I will increase them with men like a flock. Hallelujah. He said, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, once again, we can see God making a promise and showing forth what he can do. Do you see? He says, look, I will increase them with men like a flock, you know, and their waste cities shall be filled with flocks of men, and they will know that they have hit some power. Do you understand? It says, they will know that I am the Lord. They will know that God has intervened in their situation. But from the beginning, he says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. You know, this is what I'm willing to do. This is what I want to do for them. But I need them to ask me to do it. Hallelujah. So perhaps God is waiting for you to ask him so he can arise and intervene in your matters, in the issues that relate to your life, your health, your finances, your future, your children. God wants you to engage him. He says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I need to be asked because I can do it. I'm able to do it. I have it. I can give it. I'm able to do it. If they ask me, I will do it. If only they will ask me. I know you're thinking, why do you want us to ask? That's what makes it a mystery. Do you understand? If you continue to ask that question, you are like somebody who has arrived at this plug here. I hope nothing goes off when I remove it. It's working. You are like somebody who has come to this plug and you are asking, but why are you a square plug? Why do I need something that has two flat things to be able to connect to this? Why? And you'd be standing asking, why? Why? Instead of going to find an adapter, accept the mystery as it is. You didn't create this, you came to find it here. And this thing says that you need this to be able to connect to it. Just go find your adapter. And the earlier you went about looking for an adapter, the sooner you will be able to connect to some power in this room. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a lot of power behind this thing. It's just the way it comes. So if you ask me, why does God want to be asked before he acts in your life? I don't know. Do you understand? And if you are waiting for me to know it before I can teach it to you, then you're going to have a problem, because it will take forever. What's going on? Oh, really? So I turned it off. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Right? So those of you who don't have a prayer life at all, you see, you have zero prayer. You don't pray at all. You just rise up, make the sign of the cross, and just go. Do you understand? Then instead of making the sign of the cross, why don't you wear one so it just stays? Do you get it? Yeah. If you touch shoulder to shoulder and then forehead to belly button. You see, shoulder to shoulder, forehead to belly button, then you have the cross. Do you understand? Why don't you just get a carpenter to make you a big cross like that? Or go to Home Depot, buy some wood, put it together, and wear it all around. If that's all that prayer is, then wearing a big cross is okay. And of course, every rapper then is a prayer warrior. Every hip-hop star is a prayer warrior then. Because they have the crosses, shiny ones, big ones, hanging on their necks, you know, and then moving around. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So I don't know why, but it's just the way it is. He says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. To do it for them, for them. So it's for their benefit. Do you see? He says, I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in their solemn feast, so shall their waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am God. I tell you, when I'm through with them, they will know that I am God. You will know that you have hit some power. You know, a few months ago, there was a video, you know, circulating around where there was one brother who was trying to fight another brother. I think he was trying to evangelize the brother, and the brother won't listen. And he said he was going to beat him up. Yeah. So he said, you, when I'm through with you, you will know. You will see and you will know. And the Lord is saying, look, when I'm through with answering their prayer, they will know that I am God. They will know that, look, there is power somewhere. Hallelujah. But if you don't pray, the Lord is just there. All the power, just like you, if you don't connect anything to this thing, you can be here and it's like there's no electricity in this place. Do you understand? It's like there's no electricity in this place. There's no power in this place. You have to connect to it. And when you connect to it, the adaptation is from you. It's not from the thing. It's from you. You have to adapt yourself to the way the thing is in order to tap and receive the power from it. Hallelujah. And we read last week about how God told somebody to pray, ask another person to pray for him so that he, God, will intervene in his circumstances. Hallelujah. Right. Now, number two, the second mystery about prayer we must know and accept as we are going to the end of the year is that even though God knows everything, he still wants us to ask about what he already knows. Do you understand? Now, this is slightly different from the first one. The first one says that if you don't pray, I won't even do anything. Right. Now, this one is taking it further. So God knows about it. God knows about it already. Hallelujah. God knows about it, but he still says, ask me. Amen. Amen. You ask, why? If he knows, why should we ask if he knows? But that's the mystery. That's what makes it a mystery. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Okay. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Can you see that? Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Hallelujah. He knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So the question is, if he knows, why do we have to ask? Well, the way he put it also seems to suggest that his knowledge of it is not intended to eliminate your asking. Do you see what I'm saying? So he says that the Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Your Father knows what things you need before you ask him. So God knows your needs. God knows what things you need before you ask him. So he's still expecting you to ask, even though he knows. Are you getting the picture? Even though he knows, he's expecting you to ask. God is interested in your needs, I tell you. You need a job, God is interested in that. You need a house, God is interested in that. Hallelujah. You need a husband, God is interested in that. Do you understand? You need a visa, God is interested in that. Hallelujah. God knows what things you have need of. What things you have need of. If you need a car, God knows what things you have need of. Hallelujah. Even spiritual things. It's amazing how often when we think of needs, they are mostly related to something in the physical, just physical things. But you can have spiritual needs also. Hallelujah. Even the need to be consistent with your prayer life. That's another need. And God knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Hallelujah. But he says, ask, ask. He says he knows. God is one person who is not tired of you talking about something he already knows. Do you see? Have you ever tried to tell someone something you told them before? And then as soon as you start, they cut you off by saying, this thing, you just keep going on and on and on. It's such a relationship killer. Yeah. It just kills relationships. It kills marriages. It kills relationships, you know, because it's a blessing. You see, you need a flow. A flow is valuable. Do you understand? And it's a blessing if you have one. Do you see? So if somebody is making an effort to tell you or keep the flow by telling you something that he has already told you before and is telling you for the 100th time, you just have to keep quiet and just hear it, because hearing it again doesn't hurt. Isn't it? If seeing something or reading something or hearing something you heard again would hurt, then the stop sign at your junction should have killed you by now. Should have killed you by now. Hallelujah. You just keep quiet. After all, it's their energy that's talking. Isn't it? It's their lips that are being engaged. So you just keep quiet and hear it again and again and again and again and again, because it's better than the absence of a flow. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? Yeah. So human beings have that problem. But God, he does not have the problem. God says, before you come, I know it. But come and ask. Come and talk about it. I need you to come and talk about your health. I know it. I know. I know how you struggle to sleep. I know the difficulties in your life. I know the challenges you have, you know. I know the things that make you cry. One day God told the people of Israel when he was calling Moses, he said, look, I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows and I know what has caused it. I am both familiar with what his cries and what makes him cry. He said, I know their sorrows on account of their taskmasters. Do you see? That means I know the crying and I know the trigger of the crying also. Hallelujah. But he still wants you to come and talk about it. Amen. He still wants me to come and talk, wants you to come and talk about it. And if you stay there and you let it remain a mystery to you and you continue to say, but God knows, but God knows. When you say, but God knows, that's not a prayer. Do you understand? But God knows is not a prayer. But God knows is fulfilling this part of it. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. If you stop there by acknowledging that and you don't continue with the second part before ye ask him, that means you are acknowledging God knows, but you don't ask him. That means you don't pray. You'll be surprised that it's not enough to acknowledge what God knows. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because it's not the only thing God knows. God knows a whole lot of other things too. Hallelujah. So acknowledging that God knows is not enough. You need to acknowledge that God knows, and then you need to proceed from there to pray about it. You understand? To pray about it with confidence, knowing that God knows. Hallelujah. Knowing that God knows. That should even have made prayer easier. It should have made prayer easier because you know that what you're talking about is not strange. What you're talking about is not new to God. God knows about it and he wants you to come and ask him. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So that is the second mystery about prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. And of course, if relating with God had no mystery in it, then he wouldn't be God. Do you understand? Because even your roommate, sometimes he or she is mysterious to you. Is it not the case? Yeah, someone that you think you know, every now and then pulls up a surprise. Isn't it? So that is the way, if we are dealing with God, we must expect some mystery. Amen? And we must flow with it. Sometimes people who try to act like God, you know, like Grigri people and people who do those kinds of things, they try to put some mystery in it, you know, just to make it a little similar to God. Do you understand? So the whole thing looks mysterious. They ask you to bring something. They say, bring it in the middle of the night. Do you understand? Just to attempt to copy some mystery. Do you see? They say, bring it in the middle of the night. You need to bring it not in the morning, not in the day, in the night. You know, they say, bring white chicken. You know, white chicken with white, white bed sheets or, and then they want eggs. Six eggs. They must all be white. Do you understand? Just to bring some mystery to the whole thing. And that mystery makes you believe it. It looks like the more mysterious it is, the more faith it inspires in you. Do you see? Well, then allow God to have some mystery also. Amen. Amen. God must be allowed to have some mystery also. And he says that, I know the things you are coming to talk about, but I want you to ask anyway. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mystery number three. God seems to want us to keep asking about the same things, even though we have asked him before. Do you understand? Now, this one is taking it another step further. The previous one says, even though he knows it, ask. Right. But this one says, now, the things he knows, which you have already asked, he wants you to keep asking. Hallelujah. He wants you to keep asking. That's how come you would find a verse like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 in the Bible. This verse says, pray without ceasing. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Pray without ceasing. Now, if God did not know about the problem on the first day and you prayed about it, fine. But by the third day of praying about the same thing, by this time, he should know. Isn't it? But the mystery says that you should do it without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Do not stop praying. God expects prayer to form a part of your life. Amen. It is not supposed to be a seasonal thing. It's not supposed to be something you do when you are in trouble. It's not supposed to be something you do when things are not going as you expect them to go. It is something that God wants and expects to form a part of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he says, pray without ceasing. He says, don't stop. Just keep asking. Even the same thing. Hallelujah. Jesus told us the story about an unjust judge, right? And that is found in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. The book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end. That means to achieve this. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Men ought always to pray and not faint. It says men ought always to pray and not faint. People have to do this. God expects this of humanity. God expects that if you're a human being, one of the things you must do always is prayer. Hallelujah. God expects that. You know, it's a shame that Muslims seem to understand this very well and very much. You know, they pray all the time and they pray in every place. I see them at the airports all the time and they are praying. See, there's a crowd of people here and they're just praying openly, you know, and their prayer, you know, they have to go down, you know, and then they go down and they go like that in front of all of us. It's a shame that some of you cannot even pray when we come to church. Just because of a few people who are around. You know, when you pray so. Some cannot even pray in a restaurant because they feel that there are some people on the next table. Some three or four people who don't pay your bills, who are not responsible for your health, who don't do anything for you, whom you don't know from anywhere and whom you are likely never to meet again. And it seems their presence bothers you so much. You'd rather sacrifice your prayer. You'd rather look at their presence and give up your prayer. You know, if there was something that the praying over the food would deliver you from, you would rather choose that. Say, let me eat this food and die, because that's what these people, because they are here, I must not pray. Yeah. So you see, people on the next table keep you from praying. But not so with Muslims. They don't care who is around. They just sit there and they just disconnect. It's amazing. You can actually go stand in front of him and he's looking at you, but you hope he's not seeing you. Yeah. And they sit a little and they'll be praying. You know, shab 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 shab. You know, and this is at the airport. You are blessed to know a God who doesn't need you to do any of those things to hear you. So why won't you pray? Why won't you make prayer part of your life? He says that, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, always to pray and not faint, saying, there was a judge in a city which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now verse 4 says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You see, now, who is telling us this story? This is Jesus Christ. And he's telling us the story to encourage us to keep praying and not to give up. And he is the one that uses this illustration. These words are his words, and this illustration is his illustration. Now, could it be that he was trying to give us a hint about how God feels when people keep coming to him with the same thing? Are you getting what I'm saying? He said that the judge said, I don't answer this woman's request, she will keep coming till she wears me out. I don't know, but it sounds to me like God is concerned about somebody here wearing him out. By your continual coming. Then he said, hear what the unjust judge says. Unjust judge, somebody, a very bad person who does not care about man or God. Look at how he's thinking. Then he says in verse what? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? God will answer those prayers. Keep praying. It's the same thing. You have prayed about it. It's not changing. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop praying about it. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying about it. Just keep praying. It's true. You've prayed about it. The same thing. Just keep going and keep going and keep going at it. Because it is Jesus who told us the story. Hallelujah. This is not somebody imagining or trying to imagine how God works. Hallelujah. And if you don't understand it completely, that's where the mystery is. You just have to accept it. You are not supposed to understand everything. There are some things you are just supposed to accept and use. Amen. Like how the plane flies. You are not supposed to get to the door as you are boarding and ask, so how does this thing work? Do you understand? If you meet one of those because they have some of these flight attendants, I tell you, they are rude. They are like, your mama followed you on the plane, I tell you. One day, one of them told me, sir, you need to sit your butt down. I tell you, if you meet one of those people and you ask them, before I board this plane, I need to understand how it works. They'll say, sir, step aside. Yeah. They'll say, will you step aside? There's no time to understand it. The plane is moving whether you understand what will keep it in the air or not. It's a matter of just having faith and just getting on board anyway and just doing it. Just get on board. When you get there, do what everybody is doing and just go. And I tell you that you can come from New York to California and be here without ever understanding how you got here. Do you understand? Isn't that a blessing that you can benefit from something you don't even understand? That is how God is. So you don't have to have all the answers. It's a shame when people want to understand everything before they relate with God. Sometimes when people don't want God, they don't want to serve God, they make excuses and they use things they don't understand. Some people even use what they call inconsistencies in the Bible. Do you understand? How will God write his book and you will analyze it and say that there are inconsistencies in it? Do you understand? Yeah. And you're not done even with the inconsistencies with your own life. But you have already taken on God's book and you are saying that because of inconsistencies in it. You see, the Bible is not an attempt to write a diary. You see, the Bible is not a day-to-day account of God's life. That's not what the Bible seeks to do. God has given us scriptures that are inspired by the Holy Spirit and has given us enough of it to believe. Just what we need in order to sustain and maintain a good relationship with him. You see, let me just go aside a little bit and show you the scripture. John chapter I think it's John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So when you meet someone who says, for example, that the Bible is not complete, true. Are you getting it? True. They were not trying to compile a diary. But the Bible says in the next verse that what is written, these are written that you might believe. So what we have in the scriptures is an attempt by God to provide us with sufficient information that will make believing that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. God is just giving us what we need, enough information to make that possible. Hallelujah. So that is what God is trying to do. He's not trying to give us. So he's giving us what is enough to sustain a meaningful Christian life while you're on earth here for the few days that we are here. And then from here, we're going to pass on to eternity, which is where the real action is. Is it not the case? Yeah. The real action is not here. Amen. The reason why Gloria is not investing so much into her pregnancy, because what? The real action is not here. Is it not true? The real action, Gloria, is it not true? The real action is where? It's on earth. It's not in the womb. That's why most, are you buying some stuff for your baby? Yeah. Why don't you put them in your womb? Since that's where the baby is. Hallelujah. The real action is not in there. The real action is out here. You see what I'm saying? And for us also, the real action is not this temporary life here. It is for what happens after here. Hallelujah. Yeah. So God has given us just what we need to make do for here. And then we will come. He has given us enough so that believing ye might have life through his name. The life here is the life that comes after this one, which is eternal life. Hallelujah. So when we get to heaven, we will have the opportunity to have all the mysteries answered. You can then go to God and ask, how come you knew this issue and you still wanted me to ask? Then you can ask. Hallelujah. You can then walk up to God and say, you know something, one thing beats my mind. The way I struggled with this issue, the way I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about it, you know, and one of the angels will start to laugh. See? He's worried about the prayer he prayed, you know, and you say, I just need to understand. There you'll be allowed to ask. But for now, here on earth, you just accept the mystery as it is. And you connect by faith to what God says you must do. And you just do it anyway until you see the result. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So are you understanding the mysteries? Do you find them mysterious enough? I think they are mysterious. Amen. The next mystery is that God seems to want us to keep asking, but he also finds some prayers repetitious and boring. That's the next mystery. How come is it that even though God seems to want us to keep asking, he also seems to find that some of our prayers are repetitious and boring? Right. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. He says, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Right? Now, from verse 7, he says, for they think that when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You see, so this is from Jesus. He said that don't pray like people who do not know God pray. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, that if they speak a lot, they will be heard. Do you understand? Now, it sounds like it's contradictory to what he just said, because it is actually just after this, verse 8, that he also says, verse 8, be ye therefore like unto them, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Hallelujah. So that's another mystery. Why is God saying that we should keep asking? And at the same time, he also said that, look, some of your prayers are also repetitious and I don't like them. Do you understand? I don't know why, but I'm just reading the Bible. Hallelujah. Right. But you will find even more mysterious the next one. The next mystery is that it looks like some prayers need to be very long and other prayers can be very short. You see, it looks like some prayers need to be very long and then other prayers can be very, very short. Now, when you go through the Bible and you follow the life of Jesus, you see how he prayed sometimes for a very long period, you know, and then at other times, he seemed to say short but very effective prayers. Hallelujah. Let me read a couple of examples to you before we close. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, you, okay, skip that one and go quickly to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. This one says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into the solitary place and there prayed. Can you see that? In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Hallelujah. So Jesus woke up early in the morning, a great while before day. Now, what is a great while before day? About what time would you think that would be? A great while before day. You would think 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You think it's 4 a.m. Who says 12? Midnight, you mean? Or in the afternoon? Midnight. Okay, and then who else? 5 a.m. Right, everybody is saying when they would like to wake up. God knows all of you already. Hallelujah. Yeah, you see. But whatever your definition is of a great while before day, he got up before day and you need to get up before day. Hallelujah. Whatever time that you say that is a great while before day, you just copy that. Hallelujah. You just copy that. If you would just copy that. It says he rose up a great while before day and then he went to a solitary place. That means he didn't wake up and stay where he had been sleeping. See, one of the enemies of prayer is waking up and staying where you have been sleeping. Amen. You wake up from your bed and then you decide to stay there and pray. When you do that, it is no different from sleeping and tossing, just turning and continuing to sleep. Amen. But Jesus, he got up and he left, went to a quiet place and there he prayed. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. Now, the second example is in Luke chapter 6. And verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, and it came to pass in those days, that's 12 and verse 13, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Can you see that? Yeah. He went to a mountain to pray and then he continued all night in prayer to God. And then verse 13 says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Hallelujah. So he called unto them, and he, after praying all night, he called unto them, unto himself, his disciples, and then he chose out of them 12. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the next example of a long prayer is what you find in the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 14. You know, today we're reading a lot of scriptures, so just come with me very quickly. Let's read them, and then we will close in just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you learning something from this message? Is it helpful to you? All right. So, 26 and verse 40. 26 and verse 40. It says, and he cometh to his disciples. Are you bringing verse? And he cometh to his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Do you see? Jesus had gone out to some place to pray. And then when he prayed for a while and came back, you see, he said, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Must mean that he had gone or been gone for 1 hour. Do you understand? When he got back, the people were sleeping. So he said, what? What a shock. What a shock. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not pray for 1 hour? Jesus seemed to be shocked that a follower of his cannot pray for 1 hour. And he was surprised. I can imagine that he was thinking, because I've seen you watch movies for 3 hours. I've seen you read books for so many hours. I've seen you watch soccer for so many hours. I've seen your behavior when you're watching basketball. And now it's time to talk to the one who holds your whole life together. And he says, you can't stay with me for 1 hour. I'm surprised at you. Tell your neighbor, he's surprised at you. Say it properly. Say, he's surprised at you. Yeah. Say, Jesus is saying, what a shock. Hallelujah. Because he sees all the things we have time for, and he's amazed that we don't have time to be with him for 1 hour, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, to be with him for about as long as I've been preaching. I don't think I've even preached for 1 hour yet. Yeah. He's surprised that you can't do that. Because he knows how you are. Even trying on 3 dresses at Macy's, that's 2 hours for you. He knows that. He knows all your movement. He knows how long it takes to do your hair. He's not against it. But he knows how much investment you have put in your hair. Remember, he's a counter of hairs. Do you understand? According to Matthew chapter 10, he knows the number of hairs on your head. So he's a counter of hair. So he's very good. He knows how long it takes to do hair. And he knows when he sees your hairstyle, you look pretty to him, but he knows how much has gone into it. And so he's surprised that you don't have 1 hour, 1 hour to spare, 1 hour from 9 to 10, 1 hour from 6 to 7, 1 hour from 5 to 6, 1 hour from 12 to 1. He's surprised that you don't either have the hour to spend, or even when you try it, he comes back and he findeth them asleep. So he said to them, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Do you understand? So he was saying that one of the reasons why you need to learn to pray for long hours is to prevent yourself from entering into certain situations. Hallelujah. Now, it's one thing taking the right decisions in a bad situation, but God has another level where he says your prayers can even keep you out of there in the first place. Hallelujah. Your prayers can even keep you out of there in the first place. If you're praying and spending long hours, then he says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. says there's a part of you that would like to do that. But there is another part of you which is your flesh, which is weak and does not want to pray for that long. Do you understand? So if you want to be successful at praying for a long time, you need to learn how to overcome the flesh. Do you understand? You need to learn how to overcome the flesh. And we overcome the flesh sometimes by walking. You know, instead of sitting to pray, you stand up and you walk. It's the flesh you are overcoming. It's not that walking makes your prayers move faster to the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes you need to pray. You need to drink coffee to pray. Why not? You drink coffee to study. Yeah. You drink coffee to stay up. Some people drink coffee because they must finish this movie before they return it to Redbox tomorrow morning. Otherwise, they'll charge them one more dollar. You are prepared to drink a cup of coffee to save yourself $1 extra from Redbox. But you're not prepared to drink a cup of coffee to save yourself from entering into temptation, entering into difficult trials, into difficult circumstances, where sometimes your decision, because you are under pressure and under difficulty, even your chances of taking a good decision are very slim. Sometimes the choices are all bad, any way you look at it. You are just choosing between bad, worse, and the worst. Hallelujah. God wants us to rise up and pray. Can I have an amen? Amen? So then the question comes up very quickly. So when is it appropriate to pray long prayers? And when is it appropriate to pray short prayers? Hallelujah. Now, when was Jesus praying long prayers? When did Jesus pray for a long time? One of them seems to be when he was taking a decision. So we read over there where it says that he was about to choose people to be with him, to be his disciples, and he spent all night praying before he took the decision. Hallelujah. Right. So one of the times to pray, or one of the reasons to pray for long hours, is when you pray long hours when you have to take decisions. Hallelujah. See, some people take important decisions by entering into their house, closing one eye, and tossing a coin. They close one eye because the coin must not land on their head. They don't want the coin to just go up and fall in the wrong place. So they open one eye and then just say, should I marry him or not? Okay. If heads means yes. Tails, no. Okay. So then. Boom, heads! I found a husband. Easy life. Hallelujah. But when Jesus was going to choose people who were going to company with him and be with him, he knew that those people are going to affect his ministry. He knew that someone you bring this close to you must necessarily be someone that is carefully chosen. Because their decisions, their actions are going to affect you. Do you understand? And that was true. When one of them decided to sell him, he died. Hallelujah. And so when you have to take decisions, you need to spend a long time in prayer. Can I have an amen? When you have to take decisions, sometimes you want to take a decision to relocate, you need to spend time in prayer. Hallelujah. You're buying a house, you need to spend time in prayer. The other day I heard a preacher who said he was going to buy a house, and he had been looking and searching and searching, you know, and then he got to a place where he saw the house and decided that I want this one, and he chose it. Now, he's saying 60 days after they closed on the house, some people came there and said they want to buy the house from him. The reason is that they have found oil and gas in the whole area where the house was. And he said, if the previous owners had known that there was gas there or oil there, they would never have sold the house. You know, and I saw the preacher, he was dancing on TV. He said, I tell you now, the people said they were going to pay him for the whole place. And the one who had the biggest lot was going to get the biggest money. Then he started dancing. He said, because he became a millionaire just overnight. Are you getting it? He became a millionaire just overnight. Now you are going to buy a house and you are just going by, you know, with the school district, and you're also going by who are the neighbors. Do they have blue cars or yellow cars? You know, it's just very trivial, flimsy things. You don't know that the house you are about to buy has dead bodies buried under it. You don't even know that. Hallelujah. So it is important when you are taking such decisions to spend time in prayer. Hallelujah. You're choosing someone to marry or to marry you or to stay with you the rest of your life. You need to spend that time, some time in prayer. Don't you think so? Something you're going to keep for a long time. That thing is still growing and changing and you are taking it. You see, you have no idea what it will grow into. You are taking the thing while it's still young, and this thing is going to be changing and turning and changing and turning. Don't you think that you need to talk to someone who knows the future of the thing? I think you need to talk to someone like that. But most of us base our decisions on how it looks now. Do you understand? How it looks now. So you look at the person and the way he looks now, his hair is short. So, don't you know hair grows? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So Jesus took a decision and he prayed. Another instance that, or the other situation where long prayers are required is, you see, Jesus was praying before. He was praying in the wilderness and praying with the disciples. The story we're reading here was just before his crucifixion. Amen. Amen. So sometimes when you can anticipate that you're about to go into a difficult phase of your life, you understand? You're about to go, let's say you're going to go into surgery. You have a surgery that's been scheduled. You know, you're about to go into something that could significantly change your life. I think that it's also a good time to pray. Spend time, a long time to pray. Can I have an amen? When did Jesus pray short prayers? He prayed short prayers, especially when he needed a miracle. You know, when he needed an instant miracle, when he would see someone who was sick and he wanted to heal the person, he would pray a very simple prayer. He would pray, Father, thank you for hearing me. And then he would believe it, and then we'll start to see results. Hallelujah. So many of those things exist, and I believe that all of that makes prayer very mysterious. But right now, we have to bring the service to a close. So next time, we're going to continue. Amen. But I want you to tell your neighbor, you need to begin to take prayer seriously. Tell your neighbor, you must take prayer seriously. Tell them, I know it's mysterious, but you need to take it seriously. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Right. Bow your heads and let's pray. Just pray, everybody, and ask God to help you to be prayerful in the coming year. Ask Him to help you to be a prayerful Christian. You want to be someone who prays. Prayer will not just be something you do when you come to church. Especially that you'll be able to pray for at least 1 hour. 1 hour. That you have time to pray for 1 hour. Because if you have time to go out for 1 hour, be at a restaurant for 1 hour, be with friends for 1 hour, be on the phone for 1 hour, be on Facebook for 1 hour, be tweeting for 1 hour, then you must have time to talk to God for 1 hour. You must have time to talk to God for 1 hour. But he says that whatever we have need of, we should pray and ask him for it, and he's going to help us to do it. And here is one of the needs of your life. It's not a luxury, it's not optional. A Christian must pray. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Human beings are designed to pray. Prayer is, it is intended to be a part of your life. Men ought always to pray and not faint. So you need to become a praying person, a praying young man, a praying young woman. You need to be a prayer warrior. You need to start praying in the name of Jesus. And as we go, especially towards the end of the year, it's important that you get into prayer and start being a prayerful person. Pray for your children. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your bosses at work. Pray for the people whose decisions and whose choices and whose lives seem to affect you. Pray for all those people in the name of Jesus Christ. So pray and ask God, I want to be a prayer warrior. I want you to help me to pray in the name of Jesus. Help me to pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you for the opportunity to learn about the mystery of relating with you. I pray in the name of Jesus that according as your people have desired, so will you answer and so will you help them in the name of Jesus. Help us all to become prayer warriors. We want to see your hand at work in our lives. We do not want the desolation and the emptiness that plagues some of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you will intervene by turning us into prayer warriors. Open our eyes to the revelation of the importance of praying, and praying for long hours and praying for a long period in the name of Jesus. Praying for long hours as part of our lifestyle. Praying for long hours before we take decisions. Praying for long hours before we enter into difficult situations. Praying for long hours before we do some of the things we have done in the past that have brought us so much trouble. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your interest in our lives. Thank you for your interest in our daily lives. In our everyday living, in all the practical details of our life, you seem to have interest, and we are grateful for that. Help us to follow the mystery. Help us to embrace the mystery and to become prayerful in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.